Welcome to the Print Pod. Dr. K.K. Talwar, who is the chairman of cardiac sciences at PSRI Hospital and former chairman of Board of Governors of the Medical Council of India, wrote an article titled, Indian Healthcare is Missing Out on Talents Not Inclined to Join Medical Profession. I am Tenzin Zompa and I bring you the podcast version of this article. The COVID-19 pandemic has laid bare the realities and weaknesses of India's healthcare system. The sufferings of people during the pandemic need no elaboration. The need for reforming our medical care and medical education sectors can no longer be denied. Better medical infrastructure and more highly trained medical professionals are the need of the hour if we are to ensure quality healthcare to our people. Policymakers must now initiate all necessary steps to improve and strengthen our position, with particular emphasis on the rural areas. Since much has already been written and said about the state of our physical infrastructure, I present a more long-term view and lay out some of the pressing areas of reform in relation to medical education. Finding the talents. First and foremost, it is essential to realize that the medical profession is no longer preferred destination for our brightest young minds. Being a doctor myself, it is quite disheartening to witness over the years the increasing disinclination of bright young students to opt for the medical profession. As a society, we cannot afford to accept this trend. The cost of mediocrity, as someone wisely said, is disappointment, and in matters of life and death, we cannot afford disappointment. The long training period, lack of commensurate remuneration, and the shortage of adequate opportunities for professional growth are some of the apparent reasons for the decline in the popularity of the medical profession. While some of these factors are unavoidable given the very nature of the profession, all efforts must be made to remove the systematic bottlenecks and obstacles which frightens our youths away. We must tap the best and brightest who are eager to serve and who long to achieve. The sheer nobility of the profession, coupled with the thrill of cracking hidden secrets and mysteries of science, has a magnetic pull for intelligent minds and idealistic hearts, and we must provide an adequate platform for talent to flourish. The quality of medical training is important. A race to increase quantity at the cost of quality will have serious negative consequences. Good teachers and role models for students and the best faculty must be encouraged. No compromise in the quality of medical teachers should be tolerated. The criteria for appointment as faculty must be constantly revised and updated, and original research must be given the highest importance. New medical colleges should be encouraged to collaborate with established centers of excellence to mentor their junior faculty. Reforming NEET. The NEET exam was a revolutionary step in bringing about transparency and meritocracy in the admission process to medical colleges. It has rescued our system from the vice of capitation fees, but its functioning has revealed further shortcomings in our system that we must address. A Tamil Nadu panel recently found that the introduction of the entrance test in 2017-18 negatively affected students from economically weaker sections, with the result favoring the urban, English medium educated and well-off students, prompting the state government to scrap NEET as a criteria for admission to MBBS programs. Moreover, the proliferation of private coaching academies has greatly increased the cost of preparation for this exam. We run the risk of medical admissions becoming out of reach of poor students and to those in rural areas. This means we stand to lose many bright aspirants. However, I'm afraid that scrapping the NEET exam altogether will be unwise and retrograde. It would only send us back to the pre-NEET era of tainted and suspect admission processes. We must not throw out, as it were, the baby with the dirty bathwater. We must conceive of measures to further strengthen the NEET exam or find better alternatives to ensure transparency and fairness in the admission process. Governments at the state and central level can step up and implement special measures for the poorer sections and for students in rural areas so that they are in a position to compete with their counterparts who are better off. Corporate social responsibility initiatives can be encouraged and channelized in this direction to bridge the gap between the haves and the have-nots. Additionally, a more hybrid model giving more weightage to the performance in the state central board exams in a transparent manner in addition to the NEET score can be considered. Only by brainstorming to find the best alternatives can we meet the pressing demands of equity without compromising merit and efficiency. Reforms in the postgraduate NEET are also necessary. One big drawback of the postgraduate NEET is its timing. The exam is held at the end of internship period, which has seriously affected the efficacy of the internship program. Students, instead of learning the necessary practical skills during this period of internship, devote their time to prepare for the entrance exam. We must consider some alternatives. A common exit examination, whether at the end of the MBBS course or at the end of each professional examination, which could be utilized for PG admissions, is one option. Just as for the undergraduate NEET system, other ideas and possibilities must be explored and debated and the soundest options implemented. More PG seats. Another urgent imperative is increasing the number of seats in postgraduate courses. A graduate level medical degree in today's world does not provide any assurance of professional success. Every student wishes to specialize in a field of his or her choice. Yet, the number of postgraduate seats falls well below the number of graduate seats. While efforts have been made in the last few years to address this anomaly, a significant gap remains. There is a critical need to reduce this gap so that every medical graduate can be confident of getting admission to a postgraduate course. This will also help in making the profession more attractive for young aspirants. Specialties like family medicine, which do not demand heavy investment in infrastructure and will help fulfill the pressing need for good general practitioners, should be encouraged to rapidly scale up postgraduate seats. It is worth noting that in the United States, which is among the most advanced healthcare facilities in the world, the number of PG seats is more than the undergraduate seats. At present, there are two streams for postgraduate education and super specialities, which is MD, MS, NMC, and Diplomat in Medicine or Surgery. The NBE was conceived as postgraduate level program for increasing the number of clinical practitioners, especially in private hospitals, as opposed to teaching faculty. Currently, however, both streams have become more or less equivalent. This results in unnecessary confusion and duplication, especially in the eyes of foreign universities. I feel it is necessary to streamline our system and to have only one regulatory body to ensure uniformity of standards of training and evaluation. Strengthening PHCs. Finally, something needs to be said about possible policy incentives which will help us kill two birds with one stone. Primary health centers were set up to cater to the primary health requirements of our rural and semi-urban populace. A lack of qualified doctors manning the PHCs has, however, hampered the system. The need to strengthen PHCs cannot be overemphasized. An option we must seriously consider is to post fresh graduate doctors at these PHCs and give them an incentive in the form of preference for PG admissions. Alternatively, the Medical Council of India had recommended to the central government in 2012 that a compulsory rural posting for 1 year be put in place as a prerequisite for joining PG courses. The government agreed to the proposal but deferred its implementation in view of opposition from students and doctors. The opposition was not entirely unjustified given the lack of infrastructure and basic facilities in the PHCs and the absence of reasonable remuneration and other facilities, including accommodation. However, these concerns are not difficult to address, and the MCI had submitted its suggestion in this regard. Perhaps the current government can reconsider the matter, because this will not only galvanize the PhD system but will also provide valuable exposure to India's budding medical professionals. The time for complacency is well past. The time to act is now. We owe it to the future generations to act in the right earnest and to fully equip the country's systems to meet all potential challenges. Thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow with a new episode.